Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Hope you enjoyed the warm weather. Got some golfing in, had some fun there. Got some draft talk in as well. Covering day two of the NHL draft. Zach Jones hanging out with you here today. Not with Derek Kramer, but no. Instead, with our own Paul Hamilton. Paul, good morning, my friend. How are we doing today? Paul, you there? Paul's not there right now. We'll get Paul hopefully soon. Hopefully soon. I was going to ask Paul about tennis because we got Wimbledon going on. I'm not a big tennis guy, but every time I watch tennis, I'm absolutely enthralled by it. Every time it happens. And I don't understand it. It's a sport that when I watch it, I do get very into it, but then I won't keep up with it. Paul, are you there?
Yes. For some reason, you screwed up my equipment here. I guess I go on with you and my equipment dies.
I have that power. People don't realize it. I have that power. Our boss knows, and he still throws me on air. I don't understand it. So, Paul, did you have a good weekend? It didn't go as long as we were fearing it would.
Yeah, I figured you were into at least 7 o'clock. you got out of there before, a little bit before six. So,
yep.
It still was a very long day. It should have ended. In past years, it would have ended between 3:30 and 4 o'clock, and the first round never would have gone that long. It was just a complete and utter disaster for the NHL, a complete embarrassment for ESPN and the NHL. NHL Network did better the second day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the NHL Network embarrassed themselves. They actually had people who knew what they were talking about on, and I think it made it better. But still, it was a complete and utter embarrassment for the National Hockey League.
That was one of the things that has frustrated me, like covering these drafts. I covered the NFL one. I covered the NHL one. I don't hear the broadcasts, so a lot of people are like, oh, this person made a fool of themselves. I'm like, well, I wanted to hear that. Like, I feel left out, Paul. I feel left out of the party. Like, I think Boudreaux made, like, a comment to Schaefer that was super uncomfortable, and I'm like, I don't want to see the uncomfortableness, but I do want to laugh at someone making a fool of themselves a little bit.
I don't know what's happened to Boudreaux. I don't like him doing anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's a horrendous play-by-play guy. He never was that good. And even sitting at the desk now, I'm not amused by him. I don't know if he's just mailing it in or what, but he's not what he used to be, in my opinion.
That's tough. Paul, before we weren't able to connect there, I did want to ask you real quick, only because it's on the TV here in the studio. We have Wimbledon on. I've mentioned I'm not a tennis guy, but when like the majors are on, I will be somewhat locked in, but only to the final. But I'm always fascinated watching tennis. Like, it's this weird thing where I watch the athletes play. It's super cool. I would think I'd be into it more.
and then it ends, and I forget about it entirely. It's so weird. Are you a tennis guy?
Well, I'm hoping to see a final with Chris Everett and Martina Navratilova, so that should be good. Or Jimmy Connors against John McEnroe would be good.
Yeah, well, John McEnroe. He's an athlete I think that would have gotten me into tennis. It's just watching him crash out all the time. Like, that's how you get me to a television. That's how you
both
get
those
me
guys would have. Connors was a nutcase, too. I mean, they had a bunch of them. They were intense for sure, but they also were good tennis players.
That is absolutely for sure. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Paul Hamilton hanging with you here today. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Paul, you did mention it there. We did, in fact, have a draft. The Sabres made most of their picks. Really, I think the not maybe big surprise, but definitely big talking point was they also made a trade. They trade out of the second round. They pick up another defenseman in Connor Timmins. And they also get rid of Connor Clifton's contract, which I know right as the three of us, myself, Owen Parker, Joe Calley, were talking to you, you had mentioned that, you know, kind of almost preparing for Clifton to not be on the team in a few years, and then only about 25 minutes later, he's off the roster. What did you make of that trade?
Yeah, honestly, and the nicest guy in the world. I mean, I feel bad for him, but he just needed to not be on the team this year. He was a disaster last year. The turnovers, and it turnovers from your third pair, which means you're not playing against the top six guys normally. You know, you're going against, you know, guys who don't play that much, and then you're turning the puck over and it's in your net. Did you notice a lot of the guys from the energy lines and stuff were getting goals against the Sabres?
Mm-hmm.
It was turnovers and you know, all of a sudden they're going down 3-on-1, 2-on-0, and, you know, they just hang their goalies out. You don't get a big save, and there you go. So it was just – and Lindy Ruff didn't – I knew he was upset about it, and he, you know, made him a healthy scratch more than once. And it wasn't just the turnovers. It was the dumb penalties, and he wasn't alone at that. Let's be clear. But, you know, Lindy Ruff, he was – you know how upset he – I mean, he was – if he had hair, he would have been pulling it out. He was just trying to get them to stop taking penalties, and they wouldn't stop doing it and just taking, you know, dumb penalties, especially after they gave up a goal. Next thing you know, they're sitting in the penalty box. Now you're giving up two goals. And, you know, Clifton was a big part of that, as were some others. But between the turnovers and taking the penalties at inopportune times, I just don't think – and Lindy Ruff, there's no question, even before Kevin Adams addressed it after the press conference or after the draft, I knew that Lindy Ruff was going to have more of a say in roster construction this year. And we talked about this. As soon as Timmins was acquired, I thought that's a Lindy Ruff trade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was done for Lindy Ruff. I would be fairly certain to that, because he felt I'm sure he felt they needed to make a change there. They needed to be better there. That was, and you're saying, well, we're talking about a number six defenseman. Yeah, but when your number six defenseman is helping the other team score goals because of turnovers and penalties, that's one of the reasons, not the whole reason, but one of the reasons you're 29th in the league in defense. And if you're going to get better, you had to get better there. And I think Timmins makes you better. A lot of folks, a second round pick, are you kidding? Who cares? I'm to a point now with this. I think this team is where it's at. I couldn't care less about a second round pick. You know, I don't care if it took a second-round pick. They got better at a certain position. As long as they got better at a certain position and you mixed in a second-round pick, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Same thing with the trade of Malenstein last year. Who cares? Now, Malenstein didn't quite work out. He was fast and in on the forecheck, but he didn't play as well, nor did he produce as well. But I think if we're saying, yeah, but he played for the Washington Capitals. It's a little easier to play better hockey with the Washington Capitals than it is with the Buffalo Sabres. And Malenstein was out with that third pair defense quite often, too, that were turning the puck over. And, yeah, he might have been in the ice for a goal, but was it his fault? And that was a second-round pick that I don't think has worked out yet the way I think it should. But I'm not ready to give up on Beck Malenstein, and he does get on the forecheck quickly. And if you notice, by about the middle of or end of the second period, you got defensemen looking over your shoulder wondering where he is. because he gets in there and he makes them feel it when he gets in on the forecheck. But I think he can produce a little bit better than he did. I think he need, as a whole, they need to be better defensively that way. But still, second round pick, I don't care. It doesn't matter. They have prospects. They have, plenty of prospects, plenty of picks. They can't even come close to getting them all up on an NHL team. So, fine, second round pick. I don't worry about that in the least.
And, I mean, we've been talking about the prospect pipeline and how log-jammed it's been for a few years now. So, yeah, getting rid of a second-round pick to get a player now, I don't really think anyone should have much of an issue with that. You did bring that up, Paul, though, the idea of this being a Lindy trade, the Connor Timmins trade. You could even maybe argue the Kesselring might be as well, especially if the coaching staff, obviously led by Lindy Ruff, looked at Paterka and went, I don't know how much better defensively he's going to get. I don't know how much better in his own zone he's going to be. And if he's going to be a guy that can get around 30 goals but not be a particularly good all-around player, and they're going to have to pay him like maybe $8 million a year. I mean, he's already the second-highest paid player on Utah. They're top-paid forward. They might run into that issue. I think that also could have been a Lindy trade of like, look, we're all still talking about the value with that trade, but if it gets them better defensively and they can go get a top-six forward, which it's still a talking point, it has been for a while, I absolutely could see that being a Lindy move, and I think it could be one that makes them better now.
Yeah, but, let's talk about that. I mean, is that proper value? I know J.J. Paterka scored 55 goals in the last 2 years, 27 last year, and that's nothing to sneeze at. That is something. But a lot of people are ignoring that he is a huge liability. I had an NHL, there are a lot of scouts and NHL people in the press box. And I had a conversation with one of them somewhere in the middle of last season. First thing he said to me, he goes, if I were the GM of this team, I would trade Paterka tomorrow. He said, he kills them. He absolutely kills them. He goes, for what you get offensively, he just is, and he also didn't think he had very good hockey IQ.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the things that he said, and he said, if it were me, I would trade him tomorrow. He said, I just don't think, he's a guy that is going to help you get to the promised land and get to the playoffs, despite his knack for scoring goals. Now, that also can be corrected if he wants to.
Yeah.
That is something that can be corrected. I mean, you can't be a poor skater and then all of a sudden skate like Ryan McLeod. You can improve your skating, but you're not going to improve it that much. I mean, you can't do that. But if you want to become a better two-way player, you can do that. And I thought he improved a little bit last year. His numbers wouldn't say that. But, I thought there were times he would get back and hustle back and try to break things up. But when they traded for Kesselring, and I was looking at that second period that Kesselring had against the Sabres where he got in a fight with Malenstein, then scored a goal, and then completely undressed Paterka when he set up Schmaltz for a tap-in,
All
in one period.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the effort that you didn't see there with Paterka. He's standing there, and Kesselring puts a nice move on him, basically spins him, and he just like half-heartedly threw his stick out there. And by that time, Kesselring was by him.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, yep, let's not forget that. I kind of forgot he was that bad defensively. And I just needed to watch that clip to remind me that. But again, that is correctable. And let me tell you something. If he thinks Lindy Ruff was tough on him, wait till he gets a load of the coach of the Utah Mammoth. That guy, he sees J.J. Paterka do that. J.J. Paterka will be sitting in the press box next game. I mean, with the lack of effort that was put in on that play. And try pulling that stuff with that guy and see where you wind up.
It is going to be interesting to keep an eye on Paterka, because I know that there is also that feeling of it's a young guy, arguably he just asked out if that even happened, and then they immediately let him go. They had, 4 years of control with him. But it also could come down to Paul, as you mentioned, like you had a source in the NHL talking about how they trade him today if that was their guy and their asset. So maybe this is the Sabres selling high, being like, cool, he wants out. Great. We don't really know if he's going to be part of our plans anyways. And, you know, I do wonder, with free agency starting tomorrow and the Sabres having some cap space and maybe even arguably willing to make some moves. We're still waiting to see what comes of Bo Byram, whether it be a trade or if he even is going to stay on the roster. I think either one could be really interesting. You do wonder if they add a guy like an Ehlers from Winnipeg who, from all reports, is going to hit the open market. He's not immediately going to sign back to Winnipeg. Could still happen, though. You wonder if that makes them better.
I think Ehlers was the first thing I was thinking of, that because they wanted him last year.
Yeah.
He was one of the guys that Winnipeg finally, no, we're not going to trade him, and they didn't. So, I think Buffalo could definitely be interested in him again as they were last year. And the difference, I mean – even with Paterka, he wouldn't turn down interviews, and he was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't that way, but he was just miserable. You talk to him, and it was like you were actually trying to extract teeth out of his mouth with no Novocaine as you were trying to talk to him, and it was the same way on the ice. He looked absolutely miserable, and I know I mentioned more than once on shows or during the game that J.J. Paterka scored, and he didn't even seem like he was happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no joy in his play. That's not Bo Byram. Bo Byram, Kevin Adams talked about this, and you were, you know, part of the show afterwards. And this has nothing to do with Bo Byram not liking his teammates, not liking the coaching staff, not liking Buffalo. He likes all that. He's great in the locker room, and he's a guy that takes responsibility when things don't go well, and he will be there to take responsibility. He doesn't hide in the back room, and you have to beg him to come out or anything like that. He'll be right there. And there was a time, and I'll say this, because he didn't have to talk to us. He didn't practice.
Mm-hmm.
And when players don't practice, they don't talk to the media. They're not required to talk to the media. And it was a rest day for him. I think it might have been the day after he played like 32 minutes or something like that.
Okay.
And, you know, we wanted to talk to him. And the PR staff asked, you're not required to talk to the media, but they did ask where he goes, no, I'll do it. And he stood at his locker and talked. He didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he did. That's the way Bo Byram is. So he's not miserable or doesn't want to. He just wants a different role. And I was interested in what Adam said, and I don't doubt this for a second. You know, Bo Byram, if they do sign him for a year, or if we sign him for 2 years or 8 years, he said Bo Byram's going to be all in, and he's going to try to help them to win. And that's the way Bo Byram is. You won't see anything less. He won't pout or anything like that, because he's still a couple of years for unrestricted free agency.
Yep.
So if there isn't a deal that the Sabres like, they could sign him maybe for 1 year. You know, all right, we'll do this again next year. And that might be – because Adams did say, you know, he has a good conversation with both Byram and his agent separately. And, you know, Byram wanted to know, you know, he talked about his role and he talked about the team. Where is it headed? He wanted to know. I don't think that's unreasonable to want to know that. So he might look at it. All right, I understand. They didn't get the value they wanted for me. Let's do a one-year deal, do it next year, and then you can at least see, are the Sabres on the right track? Did they make the moves necessary to get into the playoffs and beyond? Is it on the right track? And then if they are, and if he plays with Dahlin all year long, maybe he would change his mind from the fact that, all right, I do like what I see here. Mm-hmm. I am ready to commit long-term to this. I think, this is going in the right direction. So that would give you another year to at least do that. But Adams, I agree with him. You're not going to see, if he has to play here another year or two, you're not going to see a powder or anything like that. You will see everything Bo Byram has to give you.
Byram is such a curious case, too, because the three of us were talking about it during our 6-7 hours on air, too, of like, you know, let's say like they keep Byram. When he was with Dahlin, he was very good. And like you could see the writing on the wall, like you could see the vision and how that was going to go. When he was not with Dahlin, it was really bad, and he became a bit of an albatross on the team and got to a point, I think most people, when they see the analytical charts, go, yeah, move him, like, fine. And then they also see the forward lines now without Paterka there, and it just it you know, the Byram trade, and I know I've been somebody to like zero in on a little bit because it becomes such an attractive piece apparently still. But I do wonder if they keep him, if the defense, if the blue line can really become a calling card of the team, because they've added two bigger, more, you know, the old school kind of style defensemen. They're not going to be like the offensive dynamos that Dahlin or Power are or even Byram are. But, Paul, I do wonder like if that's really where they want to set up, is just to be so solid defensively, because they do have guys like Dahlin, Tuck, Thompson, who can be so offensively gifted that maybe they can take a little bit back with Paterka being out. And maybe also as well, we haven't really talked about it too much, Jack Quinn. They do sign to a two-year deal, I think $3.3 million. Maybe there is belief there that now he's maybe gotten himself under control in terms of the injuries, maybe trusts himself more. Because before he was hurt, Paul, Quinn looked like a star, or a future star at least.
But you can't count on that. You can't count on, because Adams kind of set everybody up for that. Like, well, Benson and Quinn could get better. And, yeah, we've heard that for the last couple of years now, especially after the year where everybody had career years. And they mistakenly thought that. And then everybody at Paterka digressed. And you can't count on that's going to happen. You can't count on Lucan and Levi, one or both, are going to really take the bull by the horns. Maybe. It all could happen. Quinn could become a 30-goal scorer. I'm not convinced that he can't. Benson, I think, will eventually score more than he's scoring now. He's only, you know, had 2 years, and he started at age 18 in the league. But I don't think you can count on that right now for a team that has to make the playoffs and has to move forward. So, to me, the Byram one way or the other shouldn't mean anything. I think you still have to be looking, and Ehlers was a good person to bring up. That would be a perfect person to target if you're looking to improve your scoring. And a guy who, you know, has played on a team with Winnipeg who was the number one team in the regular season last year. Now, they weren't able to do it in the playoffs, but still. There's enough salary cap room. You're looking at 95.5, and then Tuck's contract, if you re-sign him, would go into effect next year. But still, so what? Because it's going to go up even more from 95.5. So for me, I know you still have to sign McLeod, Kulik. I don't know what they're looking at. Are they looking at a 7-8 year? Or have they learned their lesson and maybe do a 3-year or 4-year deal with him and make sure that the trajectory is up for him? I'm sure it will be, but you don't know that for sure. So even if Byram re-signs, I don't think that should stop them at all at getting a big ticket item for their top six.
I think of Ehlers like he's sort of the dream boat, but I get so nervous at the idea of like, will the Sabres actually pony up? You know, I get that nervous feeling of maybe
they were willing to do it for Paterka. They knew what Paterka was going to cost, and he wouldn't do it. So, you know, they were willing to pay, which you could say might be an overpayment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was it, 7.9 or 7.7?
7.7.
7.7. So, they knew that's what was going to, and they still were going for it. So, I don't understand, I guess, what you're getting at.
Mm-hmm.
They paid $8.35 for Owen Power, who had done nothing other than just a guy that has great potential. They played $4.286 for Samuelson, who had played, 50 games in the league. They're paying a cap number of $11 million for Dahlin, $12 million in salary this year, $13 million in salary last year. I don't know where folks come up with that you're worried about that they're going to pay. I don't worry about that. I think they know what they have to do. Mm-hmm. I think what the worry should be is will a player come here after 14 mm-hmm. years of not being in the playoffs?
That's I think always going to be there really until they're winning. I think that's just going to be true. I don't think it's a small market thing or a Buffalo thing. It's just if you win, people will want to come here. I mean, Florida's able to get everyone back because they win. For me, it's more, I think, what would this be now, 3 years ago, when they had, I mean, like people talking about them being this young, fun, exciting team, all they really did was, they signed their own guys back.
Well, but that's what their plan was all along.
Yeah, and that's my fear.
Is to develop guys and sign them, and then they overpaid them.
Yeah, my fear, though, is that they won't want to go off the free agency.
They overpaid. They paid Cousins $7.1 million for 1 year that he had played. You know, they took on Josh Norris. They're paying Josh Norris $9.5 million this year and a salary cap of $7.95 million. The cheap years of Josh Norris's contract are done. His first year was $5 million. His second year was $6.5 million. And welcome to the Buffalo Sabres. Now you get to pay $9.5 million in actual dollars. And then it goes down a little bit the last 3 years of $8.75 and $7.85 and $7 million. But they're getting the part of the contract where they have to pay the most. You know, so I'm not worried about that. Because if Terry Pegula is worried about that, then they're never going to get anywhere.
Yeah, it's gonna be just much more can you convince a guy to come here and maybe be a final piece to get over the hump. I mean, now there is a sales pitch there though, Paul, that if you come here and you are that final piece to get him over the hump, you will be a legend. You will be an icon here. I mean, Josh Allen, for all he has done, Tyrod Taylor is still like a beloved son of Buffalo because he was the quarterback for the team that got over the drought and all that. So, I mean, like, that is a bit of a sales pitch.
I wasn't a real fan of Tyrod Taylor. He's a nice guy.
I was so up and down.
I don't think he was that good of a quarterback.
It's
otherwise,
tough for me to
they would have gone out
guy.
And gotten Josh Allen.
Yeah, right. It's still tough for me to say I was a Peterman guy because the moment he got in, yeah, we all know how that happened against the Chargers. 803-0550, the number two call. Paul, I want to get your thoughts on the whole Mitch Marner situation when we come back because it sounded like we were maybe going to get a trade on day two of the NHL draft, and then by like Sunday, we're getting like tampering rumors and stuff like that. So we'll talk about that after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
I'm not passing any judgment here on guilty or not guilty of tampering. I have no idea. I'm just a guy holding a microphone in the bowels of the Peacock Theater in Los Angeles. But, there's been some talk that if Marner goes to Vegas, the Maple Leafs will go after Vegas for tampering. Once again, I'm going to stress, I don't have any proof that Vegas is guilty of anything. But if they make a deal with Toronto and send a good player or two to Toronto, I'm betting any chance the Maple Leafs file for tampering goes away.
Vegas Golden Knights, always interesting, always interesting. Elliot Freeman there talking about what became kind of a big story on day two of the NHL draft, which was a potential trade and sign for Mitch Marner to go to Las Vegas from Toronto. And Paul Hamilton joining us for today. Paul, number one, are you at all surprised that Vegas, of course, is involved in a potential big signing? And also, are you at all surprised that they might be bending the rules?
No, not at all. we'll see. And that's exactly, I think Elliot's exactly right. Make a trade and then, you know, you don't have to worry about it. So, you know, that's maybe what's going to happen, and maybe that's what's in play here. Let's make a stink about this, and then we'll make a trade with us to make us happy, and then we'll get a player out of this or whatever you might get out of it. So it's, you know, just the way the NHL rolls. You know how that goes. So it's the same thing with offer sheets.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know what all the commotion was about that Paterka might get an offer sheet. Really? You mean those things that are given at once every 9 years?
Right.
Yeah, you know, there were two given out last year, but by the same team against the same team. And that's why they did it, because they basically crippled them by going after two of their guys, the St. Louis Blues. You know, so that was done, but it's just so rarely done. I mean, so many people were talking about offers. I wish we were talking about offer sheets. I wish they were used because they are a tool. Now, of course, you have to have your own picks. You can't have somebody else's second-round pick. It has to be your second-round pick or whatever it might be starting next year. So, you know, that's right there. Some teams can't do it because they don't have the proper picks to be able to do it. But, I just wish that more teams were able to do it. I was just we were talking about Ehlers too. I was looking him up because I wanted to be sure. You know, he's 29 years old, so here you are. First of all, we're talking about overpayment, and does it take a long-term contract? Does it take a 7-year contract to be able to bring him in? And then now you got him till he's age 36.
Oh, there we go.
You know, it's just, you know, would it be regrettable? I mean, you're talking about a guy who at his most, and it was his third year in the year, scored 29. The last couple of years, very consistent. Although consistent in numbers, but not consistent in games played. 2 years ago, it was 82 games played, where he scored 25 goals and 36 assists for 31 points. This year, it was 69 games played, where he scored 24 goals and 39 assists for 63 points. So he missed 13 games, which would have – I mean, he was only one off his career high in points. So this is a guy that, I still think is going strong in the NHL, but for how long? But that's what the Sabres need. I hate going into free agency having to fill holes on your team because I almost guarantee in 4 years we're all going to be pounding our head on the desk going, oh, geez, what are we? I mean, here's a guy scoring 15 goals or 17 goals, and you're paying him $8 million or whatever it might be that you're paying him, and maybe because of overpayment you're paying him $9 million, and it's just the way it goes. I mean, don't forget, Kyle Okposo was the number one free agent when the Sabres signed him.
I was going to bring up Okposo, yeah.
And look how that contract aged, you know, and it's just – and I could sit here and start looking up contracts, and we could be here all day of teams after 2 years sometimes going, oh, geez, are you kidding me? What have we done here? You know, so, I mean, look at what Tavares got to re-sign. I mean, not much.
Yeah.
I mean, people weren't – and he's still productive, but, you know, it's just – you put yourself behind the eight ball that way, but – I'm not telling the Sabres not to do it. They have to do it. I mean, if they want to make the playoffs, they have to do something bold and something goofy and something that might kill them down the line. But if it's 5 years, let's say you put together a program that wins the Stanley Cup in 3-4 years, and it's 5 years before this contract is regrettable, well, who cares?
Yeah,
you want a cup. So who cares if it's regrettable then? So I think that's the way you have to look at it.
That's been like the thing with Vegas constantly, where like they keep making these big swings. A lot of people are like, it's going to eventually bite them. It's like, who cares? They have a cup. They've been constantly competitive. They've been constantly in the cup conversations. Florida's doing it now with their group bringing everybody back. I mean, Sam Bennett, 8-for-8, probably is going to suck in 3 years. It's probably not going to be a good contract. But who cares? You got two cups out of it. You made three cup finals.
And I'd be pounding the table for the Sabres to do it if he didn't re-sign.
Right.
Stupidly pounding the table for them to be doing it, but they have to. They've put themselves in a spot where they have to. What about Alex Tuch? Well, what have the Sabres done? Alex Tuch is a player they cannot afford to lose. They have to have him. If he leaves, it sets them back unbelievably. And he does things for this team that other players don't do, and he's so good at it. He's one of the best in the league at stealing pucks, turning it into offense, and going down the other way and scoring. That is a talent, and that is that they score a lot of goals that way. The shorthanded goals, the way he kills penalties. I think he can even be better on the power play than he was. So to me, the Sabres have no leverage whatsoever. It's basically they have to give Alex Tuch whatever they want. If Alex Tuch leaves, you think they have trouble with their fans now? Wait till that day happens, because he didn't want to resign. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Well, let's say if that day happens. So to me, Alex Tuch holds all the cards. He basically can name his price, and if the Sabres say no, he'll say, okay, we'll go, and good luck justifying that.
It's Paul, you brought it up there, like, you know, stupidly would be banging the table for some stuff and everything like that. And I constantly would, like, whenever I'm thinking about like what the Sabres can do and how they can maybe get better, I do find myself sitting here going like, I don't care if it's bad in 3-4 years. Like, I say this all the time too. I'm not even asking to like be cup contenders in 2 years.
I just want to make the playoffs. I want to feel that feeling in April and May. Like, I want our boss to have a hard conversation of who's doing draft coverage and who's at the arena for game one or whatever it be in the first round of the playoffs. Like, I want to have those tough conversations. And in part, it does become like, yeah, so give Ehlers like a 6-7 year deal. We'll talk about that down the road. That'll be fine. But for most of us, if it's got to be an albatross contract and it hurts you, but they made the playoffs for 3-4 years, they maybe even won a round, I think most of us now, after 14, 15 years, would take that wholesale. Wouldn't even have to think about it, really. We'll just deal with the consequences later. And, you know, with how many young prospects they have, maybe those guys start coming up as well. Just by having, you know, a better team, maybe get real development for Benson and Yuri Kulik. You know, you never know. It just always feels like for the Sabres, it's a lot of hope and praying, and it's now becoming a saying everywhere. I just watched the Formula One movie, Paul, over the weekend, and this saying was brought up, hope is not a plan. It feels like everyone's saying it now. Everyone knows it, but that still seems to be like such a fabric of sports still, is that hope is still somewhat part of like everyone's plans.
Now, if the Sabres make the Stanley Cup Finals, you have that leverage where you can go into the bosses and they will overpay you, and you'll say, look, if Paul needs somebody to go with him, he has to have there, so I need to be on the road for all the Stanley Cup final games, and this is what you're going to pay me, and they will just pay you because you have all the leverage?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how this will roll?
Ugh. I mean,
You're not answering me.
I just want to feel that though. I want to have those conversations. Like, does the player have the leverage? Does the team have it? I don't care. Let's have those rather than where we're at now, where, you know, and we brought up Alex Tuch there, and we're having the conversation now of, well, with him, the reports are, well, the Sabres are going to make a run at signing him, and you're like, wait, well, what does that mean? What's going on there?
I don't look into things.
I'm trying not to.
I think you drive yourself out of your mind to look into things.
Well, Paul, my sanity's on a thin
Elliot,
line.
Elliot Friedman's the type of person, he says what he means.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't beat around the bush. I think might have been more of a figure of speech than anything else. If he knows something, he says something.
Mm-hmm.
If he knows it's going to be a tough sled, he'll say it's a tough sled, that the Sabres are going to have to work to get this done. Or they may have to convince him to get this done. So, and maybe they will have to. But that's the way I take out of it. There's enough that gets thrown out there that that one I was just like, I think people are making a lot more out of that than just because of who it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a guy that says what he means.
Yeah, absolutely. NHL free agency starting tomorrow. We do have development camp today a little bit later on in the afternoon. Paul, I know you're going to be there. The NFL, though, before we get to that, always wants to take everyone's time and appreciation away from other sports. The Dolphins and Steelers have finalized I'm quoting Ian Rapoport here, this is not my wording, a blockbuster trade to send All-Pro corner Jalen Ramsey to Pittsburgh, source tells me and Tom Pelissero. Paul, I feel like that's not a blockbuster. Ramsey has been good for a long time. I feel like that's not a blockbuster. I feel like we're using that word loosely here.
Well, you have to sell it, you know, when you're an insider or whatever. So, yeah, I would agree. I mean, he's certainly not the player he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but the Steelers usually have a good defense. He actually might be better with the Steelers.
I can see that happening, yeah.
With the way they play defense and stuff. So it'll be interesting to see. When you said that, I thought maybe Tyreek Hill got traded to the Steelers or something. So
that would constitute a blockbuster. I think that would constitute it. Jalen Ramsey, who we've known for like 3 months, is going to get traded. We're all just like, just tell me when it happens. And I'm reading Ian Rappaport's report. Ramsey broke it himself on Twitter. So when Rappaport's going, source tells me and Tom Pelissero, the source being Ramsey on Twitter? You can't say that. Come on. What are we doing here? Ugh. We'll get more on development camp, though, after a quick timeout, because I know that's going on, and that always boggles the mind, Paul, whenever a guy gets drafted and they're like, okay, get on a plane. You have practice in 2 days. It's always very
wild. That's
why
they got to bring their equipment. They got to first take it to the top 100 guys, got to take their equipment to Vegas with them.
They bring their equipment
and
with
and
them.
And then, you know, they get drafted, and it'll be, okay, now what?
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, we're going to dive into that after a quick timeout. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones and Paul Hamilton hanging here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, everyone. Wrapping up hour number one here of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones hanging out here with Paul Hamilton. And Paul, today you've got, well, actually this week, you've got a pretty busy week as it is development camp. I've just discovered, Paul, as you said at the end of our last segment, these draft eligible players have to bring their equipment with them to Las Vegas. And knowing that can be an expensive flight, that hurt my heart.
Yeah, just to have to haul it around. It's not like you have equipment guys there to do it for you like you do when you're in the NHL. I mean, you're hauling your own stuff around. It's almost like Pee Wee hockey or college hockey where it's on you. So, they have to do that. And others who get drafted are now trying to get to the cities also. I mean, because they didn't know where they were going to go. So, mm-hmm. Were they already here sitting in New York? On occasion, some do. But other guys, you know, who are on the other side of the world, it's like, all right, Melvin Novotny, I don't know where you are. Are you in Sweden? Or where are you? And you got to get to Buffalo. Camp starts on Monday. You got a day to get there. yeah.
Like, I have nothing to do with this. I won't even be at Harbor Center today. That is stressing me out, Paul. That is stressing me out of, like, you got to get on a flight. You got to figure it out. Hope there's no delays. Like, I just discovered yesterday that my cousin is going to be bringing his own golf clubs to our Florida vacation in December. And then I was sitting there, I'm like, I can't do that. Now you're telling me on a whim, like, oh, no, all your stuff, all your huge bag of equipment, go. Oh, man. And it's 4 days. Today's practice starts at 1:30. Paul, I mean, on this, as you mentioned, it's kind of a shotgun approach here. I mean, what do you look for in this kind of stuff?
Well, many teams have sent out their rosters for this. The Sabres have not, but I'm assuming most of the college guys will be there because I'm looking forward to seeing some of them. Like last year's second round pick, Adam Kleber, who played last year at Minnesota Duluth. This is a 6'5" right-handed shooting defenseman, you know, who played his freshman year at Duluth. Or, you know, Maxim Sturbeck, who has now played 2 years at Michigan State, 2023 second-round pick. You know, so I did see him last year, but I'm anxious to see that 20-year-old. A guy who last year really started ripping it up with a third-round pick, Brody Ziemer, who played at the University of Minnesota, wound up with 12 goals and 23 points, but really started off the season well. But another college player who they think a lot of to actually move up in the draft and go get him. Some guys who are college players, local kids. Remember Gavin McCarthy, who they took in the third round of the 23 draft. Mm-hmm. He's played 2 years now at Boston University. He's from Clarence Center. So, you know, he should be around. Patrick Geary from Hamburg.
There we go.
He's now played 2 years at Michigan State. The Sabres took him in the sixth round of the 24 draft. You know, but he was an older player. He's 21. You know, they took him as an older age guy later in the draft. So those are the guys I look forward to because none of those guys are going to be in training camp because the college, you're already in class. You know, classes get going the end of August or early September, depending where you go, and you're already in class and you're not coming back. So we don't get to see those guys in training camp or even the prospects tournament.
Yeah.
Which is in September. I would love it if those college kids could play, but they can't. So we don't get to see them in the tournament either.
Bringing up the college stuff, this is curious. Me and Owen talked a lot about this on Saturday too. The changing of the college landscape in all sports now with NIL and now colleges being or universities being able to pay athletes directly. You do wonder how that's going to change the college landscape of development hockey and young players going into those universities, going from being able to go from the developmental leagues in Canada like the OHL. That could start to become really fun. You do wonder then too, because Paul, I know you have a big issue with some of these, like I think the OHL and the WHL, you can't immediately jump to the AHL, which can kind of stymie your development. Like I wonder with how college is going, if maybe hopefully something along those lines changes, because it annoys the hell out of me when you're looking for a guy to go to Rochester and then you get the report, well, they actually can't because of this contract and this loophole. And you're like, oh, come on. Like, and you're just like, all right, so they're going to be stuck out west where they're too good, but they can't make the jump to the NHL yet.
Yeah, and I understand where the CHL is coming from, and I know they made this agreement with the NHL to keep their players. Otherwise, nobody would ever go to games because none of the best players would ever be around.
Right.
And so I get that, But I don't understand why you each team can't have a one-player exemption. And, all right, like Zach Benson's our exemption. So he's going to be the guy that we are allowed to send him to Rochester. If you take one guy away, is it going to be that big a deal? It'll be a little bit big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But is it going to be that? You didn't get Zach Benson anyway.
Yeah.
You know, he got forced into the NHL. He didn't wind up back in the WHL anyway. So why not just give each team a one-player exemption, you know, that they can use? I would think that would be a happy medium.
And Benson, maybe, I think especially for Sabres fans, like, is that guy you look at? Because he was good enough to not go back to where he was, but also in 2 years he has 58 total points and 21 goals. Good player. I think most of us think he's going to be a very good player.
He holds his own in the NHL,
yes.
But I think the development would have been better, at least mm-hmm. for the first year,
yeah.
to be in Rochester.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, we have an update on the Jalen Ramsey trade. It is a very rare, and I do say this seriously in the NFL, a player-for-player trade, as the Miami Dolphins get Minkah Fitzpatrick back in this trade for Jalen Ramsey. That's at least – it's still ridiculous to use the word blockbuster. I think it at least is an interesting trade. I think it at least deserves that. It's at least interesting because Fitzpatrick goes back to the Dolphins, a team where I think he hit an All-Pro, and then immediately they got rid of him because they didn't want to pay him. And so that was a whole thing. But, yeah, so two All-Pros, not the All-Pro players they were, though, going to Pittsburgh and Miami, respectively. Zach Jones.
Dreger's sitting there saying that Marchand, if he hits the open market, ooh. It looks like Utah, Boston, and Toronto have strong interest. And if I were the Buffalo Sabres, even with his age, I would have strong interest. Again, you would have to convince him.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you would have to overpay him. But perfect. I mean, I think he would be just a perfect addition. But it doesn't seem like I ever see Buffalo involved when people are talking about Marchand.
Let's talk about him after a quick timeout because he is somebody, and I think one of the teams you mentioned in there should move heaven and earth to try to get him. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Paul Hamilton hanging here on the Northtown Automotive X Point.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Go, this is WGR.
I know past 14 years have been a lot of struggle, you know, a lot of hard times. And I know the fans, you know, a lot of the fans have stuck with it throughout that whole time period. And a team that's really looking forward to the future and just trying to, you know, take steps forward. And it's a blue collar city. You know, there's a lot of rich history within the city. You know, I believe it was steel or we, you know, those were the industries there. And so, like I said, a blue collar city, and I'm sure the fans will appreciate my game. Probably very similar to what it is in Owen Sound, you know, a smaller market, you know, going to draw from smaller cities out of town. And
Sabres third round pick, defenseman David Bedkowski. Very much part of the theme of the draft and the theme for the Sabres. Get big dudes who are willing to hit people and get the puck back. Paul Hamilton on with us here for our Monday edition of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And yeah, Paul, we only really got to hear from a few of the players on Saturday. What did you take away from Bedkowski? Because he seems to be a guy that he's like, look, guys, I'm not going to play offense. I'm here to play defense.
Why are you so violent? you're always talking about violence.
Violence. I said the same thing to Owen. I'm like my favorite, you know, word you're using to describe people is violent. I'm like, let's go, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, he definitely would bring a look that's a lot different for the Buffalo Sabres. Now, let's all be honest. You would hope somebody like that can make the team, but, you know, how many third-round picks actually make the NHL? I mean, it's I'm going through the Sabres when the last time a third-round pick made the NHL. Eric Portillo's played one NHL game, and I'm still going. I'm still going. Casey Fitzgerald.
There we go.
2016 has played 63 NHL games. So he hasn't really, you know, Jonas Johansson's played 80 as a goaltender. Nick Baptiste played 47. So, yeah, most third-round picks, Justin Kia is a referee now. I'm back to 2011 already. Dan Cattanucci played 12. Braden McNabb, there you go. Third-round pick has played 822 games. So you have to go back to 2009 to find a Sabre that has made a huge contribution as a third-round pick, and Braden McNabb would fit that mold.
I think we were there for a long time, too, Paul, with second-round picks. I think Paterka was like the first second-round pick in a while that really broke out. It was for a little bit there. I don't know how many years in a row, but just for a little while, it was like if it wasn't a top five overall pick,
well, Samuelson's a second.
Samuelson's a second. That's right.
Lukanen's a second.
Okay.
Asplund is a second. He's played
more NHL games
than I would have thought. He's played 189 NHL games, and I would not have guessed that had you put Gouley. He didn't turn out. Brandon Lemieux has played 307 NHL games. Comfort would be the last one that really 2013, okay. He's played 576 NHL games, been a good NHL player. So he would be probably, and Jake McCabe from 2012 has played 643 NHL games. So those, again, yeah, we're going back a ways.
Going a little bit. You mentioned 2016, and I'm like, I'm not going to say it, but that's the year I graduated high school. Like that is painful. I got a Facebook message a year ago. It was like, yeah, we're getting ready for our tenure, and I'm like, how dare you say that?
You don't age very well. I would have guessed you close to 40. So,
well, you know, I consider myself like wine, Paul. My back hurts, but I've got the humor of a dad, so we're okay. We'll get through it. Paul, okay. You mentioned there right before we went to break, Darren Dreger report. Less maybe a report, but more he's kind of just giving credit to Utah and how aggressive they've been in the market this offseason. Of course, going to get Paterka, now potentially being in the Brad Marchand maybe sweepstakes. I don't know if it's going to necessarily be sweepstakes, but I think a lot of teams are going to be in on him. Do want to talk Utah here, but also one of the teams you mentioned, Toronto. And I said I think one team needs to kind of, you know, move heaven and earth to do it. Toronto fits that bill. I mean, it's another kind of, you know, failed season, even though realistically looking back at the playoffs, they gave Florida everything they could handle. But at the end of it, Marchand was still that guy that just put the dagger in their heart. And now, I mean, it's all but assured Mitch Marner is going to leave. It also feels pretty secure that it's probably going to be Las Vegas. But Marchand especially, you mentioned it, the age. You know, he's going to be 37, 38 this year. But for Florida, he fit like a glove and was huge for them in the playoffs.
And, yeah, what is the problem with Toronto? They just can't get over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
They've given a lot of teams good series.
Yeah.
What about that Boston series where they allowed the Bruins to come all the way back? It looked like Toronto had that wrapped up. Toronto, I mean, this year against Florida, they were up 2-0, and I think it was they were up 3-0 in game three and lost it.
I believe that's right. Yep.
And that's that. So they had a golden opportunity to go up 3-0. Now, the Loose Leafs have blown that before, and you are playing the defending Stanley Cup champion, so that's no guarantee. But, you know, to get a player like that who, you know, when it's on the line is at his best. Problem with the Maple Leafs is when it's on the line, their stars are not their stars. This is such a simple statement, but your best players have to be your best players. And when it absolutely matters the most, the Toronto Maple Leafs' best players aren't their best players. And Marchand would be that. That's why he is such a good player. Bennett, so who we talked about earlier, is that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it's on the line, he's one of your best players. And everybody can't do that. And the Leafs have a bunch that can't do it at all. And that's why Marner is looking for somewhere else to be. And I think Marchand would be an excellent choice for them because he might be able to change that culture.
Yeah, that's a big thing for me there is I think you get Marchand into Toronto, I think he kind of flips what they're doing. Like, there is a semblance of just, like, legitimate credibility of, like, he just wins where he goes. He went to Florida when they really needed a jumpstart with Tkachuk dealing with injury issues, and he was perfect for them, and he won a cup with them. I do find it funny, too, that Boston is going to be in for the market for Marchand. Like, they trade him away, he goes to win a cup, and he might go back there. That, to me, is hysterical. But Utah as well, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you're an Arizona fan, there's got to be a little frustration that, like, they moved to Utah and immediately they're getting very aggressive. All the players are starting to hit. Like, Clayton Keller had, like, 90 points last year. They make the Paterka trade. Like, they look serious.
Did you just say if you're an Arizona fan?
I know. There's four of them. I know. But they are there. They are real.
If they were selling the building out, they would still be there.
That is right.
So that is right. But, you know, other fan bases, Florida – had a horrendous fan base until they started, you know, all of a sudden going to the finals, and now you can't get a seat in the place. Before, they were covering seats, covering them up in the top, you know, because they were embarrassed that nobody was there. You would come in, it was like a Sabres home game. It was like a Toronto game here. Carolina was that way. Mm-hmm. Carolina fans hate Sabre fans because they think they're so arrogant. And, you know, they used to, any Carolina fan that tried to go to a Sabre game, it would be half or more Sabre fans. And apparently from what they say, they were obnoxious. I don't know. I wasn't in the stands. But that's not the case anymore. So a lot of places where hockey just never was anything. Here's the NHL. Are you kidding me? You're going to try Atlanta for a third time. What about the first two where nobody showed up? But you can also say, you know, now the Atlanta Flames were a little bit better. The Atlanta Thrashers certainly weren't. They didn't give anybody any reason to come watch
them.
Right, yeah. But it could have eventually flipped around if Arizona was better. But they weren't, and they couldn't get a new arena. And there was nothing wrong with the arena they had. It was a beautiful arena, but I think it might have been the location. But then again, it's right next to the football stadium where the Arizona Cardinals play.
Yeah.
You know, and people came to that. So I actually liked around the arena where Arizona was. It was almost like a mini little village and city. There were lots of bars and restaurants, like, right there as you walk out the door. It was kind of a cool place. I enjoyed being there. I enjoyed going out there, and you know, I liked it there. But they just didn't have the team that
it wasn't going to convince people to go out
to
there.
Make people want to come watch it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a frustrating thing. I mean, now you look at Buffalo. Buffalo's got that hockey blood in it. I mean, we're, you know, arguably in the Northeast. I mean, that makes sense. We don't have college football, but we have hockey kind of deal, and you still will get people in the arena. I think there is that this fan base that is just ready to pop, like, the moment they're good. I think if the Sabres start fast this year, Paul, I think you're going to – there will be issues. I'm not saying they're going to all be forgiven, but I think there's going to be just like, I don't care, I'm going to go. They're exciting. They're fun. I'll deal with all that later. It's just I don't think they're that far off, Paul. I really don't. Maybe I'm being naive in thinking that. Maybe I'm locked into just – I think Tage is awesome. I think Darlene's awesome. I think Power's going to hit that next jump. I don't find them particularly that far off. I think they've just zigged where they should have zagged. They didn't make a move when they should have kind of deal. The big losing streak this year and not making a move there. I am that kind of fan that, like, if we've talked about them a lot, if they signed Ehlers on Tuesday or Wednesday this week, I'd be all in and thinking they could at least be a playoff team. They could at least make a serious push for it.
Yeah, it just seems like they've tried everything. They've tried, you know, changing the players numerous times. They've mm-hmm. tried changing the coach numerous times. They've tried changing the general manager numerous times. It hasn't worked. I mean, how in the world can you have Ryan O'Reilly, Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhardt, and Evander Kane on your team and still be one of the worst teams in the NHL? How does that work? You know, you decided you were going to tank. Quite honestly, the tank worked. You were trying to get either Jack Eichel or Connor McDavid. Plus, you did it a year early so you could get a very good player. They weren't tanking for Sam Reinhardt, although Murray did say had Reinhardt been, you know, had they had the number one pick, they would have taken him number one anyway. They did like him. But, you know, they tanked to get the high pick. They got a very good player in Sam Reinhardt. They tanked again, got the second best player in Eichel.
Mm-hmm.
But what did you do? You had a GM that had no idea how to mix that in.
That's always been my big thing. You're right. Like, the tank worked. It's the post-tank that really fell apart.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like, all right, the tank worked. You've got two really good players to build with. And what did you do with it? Absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you still remained at the bottom of the league until those players said, well, you know what? Bye. I mean, and then you got Eichel in 2015, and 3 years later, you're still drafting first overall. And then you get Dahlin, and then 3 years later, you're still drafting still first overall. And you go out and get Power. So, you know, you follow up Reinhardt and Eichel, and what do? You take Alex Nylander the next year. Are you kidding me? What in the world made you think that you should take Alex Nylander when Sergachev was right there? You could have taken him. I just, Charlie McAvoy, Chychrun, all were there. But you decide you want Alex Nylander. Beautiful. That's just the way to help yourselves out after you just tanked and gotten Reinhardt and Eichel, and you go out and take Alex Nylander. Congratulations on that one.
But that's what I mean too about like the zig when they should have zagged. I mean, it's just they've had moments. I mean, even some of like the coaching hires they've had have come with pretty good pedigree. Bylsma and Housley, I think, both had pretty good reviews nationally from everyone thinking that would be a really good move. General managers maybe a little bit less so. It's been a little while. I can't totally remember all the reviews there. But Paul, I'm also bringing up the Eichel stuff and the tank. The 10-year anniversary just passed of the Eichel draft, and I've talked about it with Derek. I've talked about it with Owen and Joe. Those feelings that night of getting Eichel and then the O'Reilly trade and then a few months prior the Evander Kane trade, it's really quite stunning to look back at 2015 and to now and go, oh, the Bills have lapped them in terms of both credibility, excitement, memories, all of that, when that night it felt like the Sabres were just on a forward trajectory. They were going straight to the moon, and it just never happened.
That's insane that it's been 10 years.
I know,
since
right?
Eichel. It's insane. Time goes by just so quickly. It's just crazy. I have no words. I mean, it just seemed like we were walking around interviewing Eichel after he just got drafted. I mean, it's just I can't. And 11 years since I remember going to Toronto, where they had the three prospects available, and you know Ekblad and Bennett and Reinhardt, and talking to them then before the draft. I remember that perfectly. You know, talking to all three of them, thinking, okay, who would be a good fit for the Sabres? After trying to talk to them and 11 years ago,
it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. The anniversaries will always screw me up. Paul, time is a flat circle to me, Paul. A year will go by and I'm like, really? All right, I guess it did. And it's always something that throws me off. But yeah, whenever these anniversaries roll around, I'm like, that doesn't sound correct. I remember where I was and I shouldn't. But yeah, it's been something I've thought about a lot the last few days, of just how different the feelings, the vibes were around each team. And even for the Bills, it was so sudden when they broke the drought and then Allen comes in and they got the right coach, they got the right GM. By year three, he pops off and they haven't slowed down since. Where for the Sabres, we're through multiple coaches, we're arguably through multiple tanks, multiple GMs, and it's just – but again, I still sit here and it's with a lot of these recent teams, they're not that far off. I mean, if they don't lose 13 straight games and not make a single move because Rasmus Dahlin goes down – they've made the playoffs. You go back a few years ago when they miss out on by one point. If you don't just lose a ton of games in a row and gain no points, no loser points as you put it, you probably make the playoffs. And it's just it. You know, we talked about in the first hour. You don't want to hope for things, but at a certain point, you know, luck will play into it. And they've just never gotten lucky. It feels like you can have bad management. You can have arguably bad ownership. But sometimes luck will help you. The Bills did ultimately fall into Josh Allen. His talent would tell you he probably should have been taken one overall. Instead, he's the third quarterback off the board, and his development is perfect. If it's not, I mean, where are the Bills right now if his development isn't perfect? It feels like the Sabres have not had any of those moments, and it sucks. You know, you want to make your own moment. You want to make your own luck and what have you. But sometimes, yeah, the hockey gods or the sports gods got to help you out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it just nothing seems to fall into place for them. I mean, that late season game against Florida, and Florida wins it 2-1. It was the last week of the season. It might have been the second or third last game of the year. Buffalo played well in that game. Both teams played well, and Florida won it 2-1, made the playoffs. Had Buffalo won it 2-1, Buffalo would have made the playoffs instead of Florida, and Florida would not have been in the Stanley Cup Finals.
And that's the thing, too. I mean, how different does the NHL landscape look now if the three-time, you know, going to the Stanley Cup team doesn't go the first time? There's an argument they could start over, maybe not with Tkachuk, but kind of start over with a new core there. They weren't maybe not looking back at the two-time Stanley Cup champions. I mean, it really is foundational to how the NHL has gone the last few years. Look at the draft. A bunch of teams trying to build themselves like Florida.
But look at also the COVID year.
Yep.
I remember we're sitting in Montreal in mid-March, and we're having dinner, and the NBA guy, whoever it was, got COVID, and then all of a sudden the NBA got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're wondering, okay, what's going to happen here? Thursday, the game is against the Canadiens is Thursday. We're told not to go to the morning skate, and by noon it's like pack up. On the way home, this NHL is now canceled too. Had that game been played and the Sabres had beaten the Canadiens, they would have been in the COVID playoffs.
It's crazy to think about how, like how did it get here? And you're like, well, there's a few things that really you got to wonder if a higher power's against you. You just have to wonder a little bit here.
Yeah, they just would have had to win that last. This NHL just had to wait one more day to cancel the season.
Mm-hmm.
Had the Sabres been able to play the Canadiens and win, and there's Buffalo, easily could have won that game.
Yeah,
that's all they had to do. They would have been in the playoffs, and then we wouldn't be talking about a drought.
And you know, and not only not talking about a drought, you saw how the NHL at large felt about the Sabres in that year they missed by one. When they were young, fun, exciting, it felt like, okay, they've got a gem and a coach in Don Granato. Tage Thompson, who the hell's this guy? He's just come out of nowhere. If they make the playoffs in one of those years, whether it be COVID or the 1 point year, what have you, how does the league look at them at large? Does it change radically, or is it just a little bit? But does it also maybe change how the Sabres themselves operate now that they've tasted the playoff success? They've gotten, you know, the playoff game revenue and stuff like that. And do they say, or it really, is it just we're not having the conversations, Paul, we're having in the first hour of you've got to really convince Ehlers to come here. You might have to really overpay to get him here, where instead it's like, well, no, they made the playoffs 2-3 years ago. He's willing to come here. You know, the real big thing that we all talk about with trades, the no trade clauses, are a lot of those wiped out? They kind of were in that one point out year. It's just, I think about it a lot painfully, I get it, of just like where this team could be if it was just for 1 year, just for 1 year. Football's different. Football, if you don't have a quarterback, especially in the modern days, you're really not going anywhere. Hockey, 50% of the teams make the playoffs. It takes just a few moves for you to get past some people. And I look at teams like Montreal, who tasted success last year and have decided they never want to feel empty ever again. You know, we're hearing Sidney Crosby rumors. They go get Noah Dobson. They've already got all the scoring touch that they have there. The Russian guy that they brought up, Demidov, late last year. Like, they're making exciting moves. Florida, you've mentioned. They've got that fan base now. They never want to feel cruddy again like they were before. It just does feel like one of these years, if they could have just snuck in, it could have changed the entire trajectory of where they're at.
You brought up drafting Josh Allen. If you recall that day, Bean was getting killed.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah.
They wanted him to take the other Josh, who never really made the NFL.
He played really 1 year, and then Arizona gets the number one overall pick. They take Murray. They trade him. They got him out.
And he's never really played. I mean, no. So, you know, Bean stuck to his guns. He felt Josh Allen was the better quarterback. He got criticized for it. But he, as a general manager, couldn't care less if he gets criticized. That's not his thing. If you want to criticize, go ahead. I'm going to do what I think's best for the football team. And we think that drafting, you know, Josh Allen is best for the football team. So that's what he did, and he turned out to be right.
Yeah, and I'll say this always, because like I like to poke fun at myself, especially like draft misses, because let's be honest, if you're a draft expert, you're going to miss 90% of the time. I was a Darnold guy. And I was genuinely terrified that the Jets got Darnold. And I liked Josh Allen. I loved the story. But if you were going to tell Zach in 2018, hey, he's going to become like a phenom all-world kind of quarterback, I'd have called you a liar. I knew the potential. But the idea of him becoming that just felt so alien to me at that time.
Was that it? 18 he got drafted?
Yeah, 2018.
So the Sabres drafted Rasmus Dahlin in 18. The Bills drafted Josh Allen, both are, quote, superstars, and look how one team wound up and look how the other team wound up.
And that's the thing. I mean, you look at it. I think the league at large does feel that way about Rasmus Dahlin. He's getting Norris votes this year and stuff like that. It's just, you know, if they're making the playoffs, what's the vibe around Rasmus Dahlin? Is it that they have their Josh Allen in-house? They just the few moves to help him out haven't been made yet. Maybe it's this week. I think this is going to be a foundational week for the Sabres with the money they have to spend, the cap going up. I know Joe DiBiase brought it up this morning. You know, if it's a 2-3 year deal, you can argue nothing's an overpay because of where the cap is going. And also for the Sabres, as I've mentioned it a few times, I don't think they're that far off. If you can add a few pieces into that top six forward group, maybe make a big Byram trade or even keep him and sign him to a long-term deal, long-ish term deal. We'll see what that actually ends up being. I think it could be something.
Well, if you get that forward and you've improved your defense, which I think they have, and even if Byram stays another year or two, well, you still get another year or two out of it, you know, and then you get that person on the forward line, then all you got to worry about is your goaltending, because none of it matters if your goaltending isn't any good. If your goaltending was like it was last year, none of it matters.
Yep.
But still, you know, that's you would have all that, then you have to worry about the goaltending after that, and see what happens.
We'll see what happens. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Paul Hamilton hanging here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. This is WGR.
Okay, if you take 28 goals out of your lineup and potentially more because JJ's still a young player, what do you do? How do you replace it? What happens? And some of it can be the internal. The guys like the Jack Quinns of the world and Zach Benson's progressing in their own game. But to be honest with you, when I really boil it down, I think with the talent that we have, we weren't as focused or concerned about scoring goals. It's more, can we defend better? Can we be a team that is harder to play against, defensively plays the game more responsible, I guess would be a better way to say it. And I think both of these players, that's why we focus so much on them, will help in that regard. So that's a big part of it.
Sabres General Manager Kevin Adams, Zach Jones, Paul Hamilton with you here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I mean, Paul, I hope they don't, like, totally stop adding goal scorers. I mean, that's how you win games. You score goals, especially with the current goaltending situation, as we mentioned there right at the end of the segment. Kind of up in the air right now.
What about Jack Rathbone?
Jack Rathbone.
Do you realize the Sabres re-signed him yesterday?
Paul, you're making up names.
No. 2-year, $1.6 million, played in Rochester last year, and Puckpedia is the only one that had it. I retweeted them when I saw it. The Sabres haven't announced it. It hasn't been anywhere else. And usually minor league guys, you know, that signed NHL contracts are mentioned somewhere. Mm-hmm. I didn't see a word about it, but yes, Jack Rathbone, the defenseman, he's the guy that got called up, I believe, in Ottawa. He didn't play,
mm-hmm.
but they needed to have a defenseman there, and he got called up for one game, watched it, and went back to Rochester.
All right, Paul, you escaped with this one. He has a Wikipedia page. So even if he's fake and you just made him up, that's a lot of effort you had to put in there. So I'll give you that one.
He played pretty well in the Calder Cup playoffs.
All right, there we go. I mean, I see here in, what was it, 63 games, 6 goals, 7 assists, or 17 assists, excuse me. All right, okay.
What number did the Sabres give him?
Paul, come on, 30 seconds ago, I thought he was a fake person.
You're supposed to tell me. I mean, you're supposed to know this stuff.
A minute ago, I thought he was a fake person. Now, it's bad on me, though. Okay, actually.
He didn't even wear, like, number 140. He wore number 3.
As a number junkie that I am with jerseys, number 3 is not bad for a defenseman. That's pretty good. Now, if you're a forward and you're wearing number 3, I want you off my hockey team yesterday. But as a defenseman, that's not that bad. That's pretty good.
So I'm thinking now Kesselring obviously can't have 7 because of Richard Martin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I bet it's 77. I bet he takes Paterka's number.
Ooh.
Since he wore number 7 in Utah. And then Timmins has either wore 25 or 20. He can't have either one of those here, so I'm thinking 52. Take 25 and reverse it.
See, I'm worried about the Kesselring thing because...
And Doan can have 91. I don't think they're real worried about Novikov
okay.
having 91.
Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, he's a defenseman, though, wearing a number in the 90s? No, someone's got to talk to him.
Well, when he was playing in the prospect stuff, he was wearing 91. Like, if you see him here today, he'll have 90. Maybe he won't anymore because Doan wore 19 and Krebs has 19. So I'm thinking Doan might switch, too, and go to 91.
I'm going to need you to text me and let me know if he's still wearing 91. Because that is going to be, for me at least, dire information. I will say, though, real quick, Paul, on the Kesselring thing, I don't know if I want him to take 77. Because when the Bills trade away Stephon Diggs, Chase Claypool took number 14, and we all know how that went.
Well, Bernard Docker took 24 from Cousins. He was fine last year.
Yeah, but, I mean, Cousins, by the end of it, not great, not great. Bernard Docker, though, by the way, he was somebody, I don't know however serious it was for some fans, but I think a lot of us really liked how we played with Owen Power.
Considering he had the injury and hardly had played since, like, the turn of the year, I thought he put into some, you know, he was what he should have been. He wasn't great and he wasn't bad.
Right.
He was steady. And yeah, he and Power, I thought, played pretty well together.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so zeroed in on this forward thing, Paul, with the Sabres. I mean, even listening to Adams there, I did, maybe irrationally, I get like almost nervous that like he mentions like we really weren't looking for goals, like we want to get better and more responsible on defense. And I'm like, that's right, you should have. But also, like, you're missing an almost 30-goal scorer. Like, we should maybe add that back in, especially because we've talked about it. Their power play is not very good, and Lindy Ruff's history with power plays is not very good. So you can't really expect that to just jump up and help you.
Yeah, and that's what I meant earlier, and I'm glad we played that, you know, it's almost like he was setting everybody up to this is maybe what we're going to do because he has said those things before and followed through with it, that
mm-hmm.
we're going to replace people from within. And that was what his original plan was. You draft well, you develop well, you pay the people that you drafted and developed, and that's your team. And he followed that, the year after they all had great years and almost made the playoffs, thinking that they're all going to improve, where only one of them improved and the rest of them went basically down the tubes
mm-hmm.
and are trying to recover and somehow get back to where they were. And who knows? Now, Alex Tuch did. You know, he had another 36-goal year, and Thompson did. He didn't make 47, but he made 44, I believe, if I'm going by memory. And, he's kind of recovered, but Quinn hasn't recovered. I mean, Cousins never did and wound up getting traded. Samuelson hasn't recovered. I mean, it's just, It can't be that. I mean, he is right about improving the defense, and I think they've done that. And it had to be done. You weren't going to win with the 29th best goals against in the league. But that doesn't mean you stop. That means you still have to go out, get at least one top six forward. I think they need two. But at least get one and go from there and then work on your goaltending.
Yeah, and so on goaltending, Paul, I know the Morning Guy has brought his name up. Jake Allen, is he somebody you'd be interested in the Sabres bringing in? 34 years old, last year with the Devils, 266 and 906. You know, is he somebody that you would bring in, maybe even quote-unquote overpay, to be maybe that stopgap between what eventually could be Levi or even UPL, or are you more like bring back James Reimer or something like that?
Problem with James Reimer is if Lukanen and Levi don't work, I don't think you can hand the job to James Reimer for the year. You know, I just don't think he's at the age now that that can happen. Jake Allen, you could probably do that with. So it is a name. He's had some good games in the NHL. Again, as I said, the free agent market isn't great when it comes to that, that you might want to have to make a trade. And, you know, maybe they have to make a hard decision here.
Yeah.
And think, you know, I know we've developed Lukanen and Levi, and I know Levi might need another year, whatever that might be, but you need a goaltender now. And maybe you're going to have to part with one of those two and bring a goaltender in that is your goaltender right now. And if it becomes a time where Lukanen or Levi, whoever you wind up keeping, winds up here and takes the job, so be it. But you just are nowhere right now with those two, and one or both of them could really do well this year. But you know what would make you think that all of a sudden they're going to turn last year around? Or, you know, from an NHL standpoint, Levi's case, he had a very good AHL year, but is he ready to do it in the NHL? So far, he's never been able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's if you don't have goaltending, you aren't going anywhere.
And you do wonder, too, with this current Sabres front office organization, what have you, how much scar tissue they've accumulated with really trusting a lot of their young guys, paying them a year early, trying to get them, you know, before the big season pops off, and then being burned a number of times. You wonder then if they're willing to do that again with the goalies and be like, well, UPL, you know, 2 years ago was really good. Levi's been great in Rochester, where instead they'll be like, nope, you got to earn it. We're bringing in this guy, just for argument's sake, Jake Allen. We paid him a lot of money. You guys got to beat him out. Like we need to be good today. And right now we can't hope that you two have done really well. I mean, that's kind of been a big thing here with the Sabres, has been like they hope these guys take that next step. And I don't just say that for the Sabres. That's everybody. Every free agency move, every trade, everything you do, there has to be a semblance of you hope it works out. But there are numbers to back it up. I mean, I bring up Allen's 266, 906. If the Sabres got that last year, especially now with their improved defense, they're a playoff team.
Yeah, and I'm to a point now, I understand you have young goalies and you're hoping, you think you've got two very good young goalies, but it's to a point now where it hasn't worked yet.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
And what's wrong with going out and getting not maybe somebody who's younger than Jake Allen, mm-hmm. who is a number one goalie, who's available, if somebody's available like that, to take over? And he's your goalie now.
Yeah.
And Lucan and Levi, whatever. But to me, it's to a point now. If that guy becomes available, go get him and let him be your goalie for a while. And then you've solved your goaltending, and then Lucan and Levi can fight it out to be the backup. And you can trade the other one or whatever it might be. I mean, I know you've put a lot of development in these two, and you have belief in them and hope in them, but you're to a point now where if a good goaltender becomes available, go get him, and now he's your goalie. Don't worry about Lucan and Levi and where their development is and all the rest of it.
Yeah, and one of those goalies that maybe was available, a trade more than anything, Thatcher Demko looks to be off the table. Frank Saravelli about 15 minutes ago said the Canucks and the goaltender are closing in on a contract extension that'll keep him in Vancouver. Vancouver is such an interesting team, Paul. It feels like every 3 months, everything's the worst it's ever been. A coach is crying. They're treating him like garbage. The players hate themselves and hate everybody around them. But then, the next year, they'll be a playoff team. I can never get a read on Vancouver, ever. I don't know if that's the same for you, but I can never get a read on them from 1 year to the next.
Yeah, and his name escapes me, and I'm sorry, but that goaltender who was absolutely unconscious for Switzerland in the World Championships, I mean, you want to be bold?
No, there we go.
Go see what he's up to. I mean, he was just phenomenal. I mean, he went over 10 days without giving up a goal in that tournament. I mean, he went, as I said, I'm sorry I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but, you know, is he willing to come play in the NHL? Is he somebody that I mean, when you're in the World Championships, you're not playing against all NHL players, but most of them are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, you know, would that be somebody that could really strengthen your goaltending? Who knows? I mean, but again, we talk about trying to be bold. Well,
that would do it. That would be the definition. So, I mean, maybe I'm with you though, Paul. I think they've got to do something. They can't just go into next year selling to the fan base. Oh, yeah, it's going to be Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Devin Levi now. I think Levi, maybe if the Laval series had gone better, could have been something you could sell people on. And I think his season overall, you could sell people, I think, a little bit better. But the way the season ended, him not playing particularly his best, I think really hurt that kind of sales pitch they could have.
I'm Leonardo Giannone. I wanted to look his name up.
Okay, well, I'm here because his name's Leonardo. The 10-day goal thing is irrelevant now. His name's Leonardo. I'm all in.
And he was the best goaltender in the tournament. Basically, had Switzerland won that, he would have been the best player in the tournament. His numbers were just completely crazy and out of sight. I'm just looking now. I don't believe he's ever played in the league. I don't even think he's played over here. I just wanted to see what his age might be as I look him up.
If you tell me 22, I'm going to be upset.
No, he's 37. never mind.
Never mind. He's out. He's too old. I was there for 25 to 28, 37.
No, he's never played over here.
Yeah, he's out.
So, yeah. Guy, boy, a goaltender like that, how did he never wind up over here?
Yeah, that is definitely true. 803-0550, the number two call. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. Going to take a quick time out here, and we'll wrap up the show. Paul Hamilton and Zach Jones hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we get ready for Sabres Live at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Paul Hamilton, you've been listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it in Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I'm excited. I know Paul Hamilton's excited about this latest announcement in the video game world. EA Sports, Paul, bringing back college basketball. I know we're excited. I know we're excited.
Yeah.
Paul, you're going to buy it. You're going to play it day one.
Hockey players are taught not to enjoy basketball. Because they take our arenas and they take all the good dates.
Well, I can get behind that.
We don't like basketball.
You're going to play it day one. I know you are. You're going to play as UB, St. Bonaventure, Canisius, Niagara. I'm kicking and screaming in the national championship. Iowa State. Well, Iowa State's good, though. Iowa State is good, so you don't have to actually drag them back to the national championship. They're just good straight up.
You never know, though, because they got to go to the transfer portal every year. So you never know what actually they have until they get on the court. But they have a coach that he knows how to go to the transfer portal and be able to get players that are going to help him. He knows what he wants. He knows the way he wants to play, and it seems to work for him like every year somehow or another.
You're kind of waiting for the bottom to fall out where it's just 1 year, just doesn't work out, but it's just he knows what players he's looking for, and he gets it done. And, I mean, I can't remember his name. It's a longer name. It's like TJ
Otzelberger.
Otzelberger, thank you. And he came over from, like, I think the UNLV job, which, by the way, is not the UNLV of the 90s and 80s. It is not a good job. And he came over to what had turned into a bad Iowa State program and turned him around basically immediately, and they've been wonderful since in a very loaded Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, he used to be an assistant at Iowa State, which is why he wanted to come back. And, that's exactly what he's done. And best coach they've had in a long while there.
Very, very excited. Does look like, though, it's not coming up until 2028. So, Paul, you got some time to get more acquainted with the transfer portal, find your love overall of college basketball back, and then we'll get you there day one. Midnight release kind of deal. Don't you worry. We're going to get you there. We're going
to
get
back
you
back. Back when I had the hockey game, I used to make all the trades to make sure the rosters were right.
I love that. My buddy did it in high school, too. All right, Paul, thank you so much for jumping out with us today. Have a wonderful time at development camp.
Sounds good. Take care.
That'll do it for us. Sabres Live coming up next. This is WGR.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.